iBridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Tapestry by Nancy Bilyeu, read by Nicola Barber. Chapter 1. I was once told that whenever I felt suspicious of someone's intent, no matter how faintly, I should trust that instinct. But since the man who issued this advice had himself tried to kill me, and nearly succeeded, it was difficult to know how much weight to give his words. I felt this distrust in a place where all others seemed at ease, as I followed a page through the tall, gleaming rooms of the Palace of Whitehall, filled with the most prosperous subjects of King Henry VIII. To anyone else, it would seem the safest place in all of England. But not to me. Never to me. Only 8 days earlier, I'd received the summons, calling me back to London, the city where I had seen much cruelty and death. I read it in my small house on the High Street of Dartford, where I had come to serve as a novice at its priory of Dominican sisters, and hoped and prayed to prove my worthiness to take vows and become a bride of Christ. But 2 years ago, by the king's command, our exquisite priory was torn down, and I was cast out with the others.
"This missive is from the king's council, Sister Joanna," said Gregory, pushing it into my hands as if it were a loaf pulled fresh from the oven that was singeing his fingertips. Gregory was a clerk in the town. He married the vintner's daughter just after Candlemas Day, and his face soon thickened, like a hunting dog turns fat and sleek when brought into the house at season's end. But Gregory, no matter his station now, once served as porter to our priory, and continued to take an interest in my welfare. He still called me sister. When a letter came to town bearing the royal seal, Gregory insisted on delivering it to me. I thanked him and closed the door on the bright noise of the High Street. My fingers heavy with dread, I found a knife to break the beeswax seal. It was light brown, with these words circling the figure of a man on horseback, holding sword and shield. "Henry VIII, by the grace of God, of England and France and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, and on earth, of the English and Irish Church, Supreme Head." I smoothed the sheet of thick, creamy vellum onto my table. "Touching on the matter of the commission of tapestry, Mistress Joanna Stafford, daughter of Sir Richard Stafford, is hereby summoned to the Palace of Whitehall in the third week of April, in the year of our Lord 1540, to wait upon the keeper of the great wardrobe of His Majesty, King Henry VIII, and receive the king's command." I was dismayed, but could not say I was surprised. I knew full well that the king took an interest in my tapestries. Bishop Stephen Gardiner had told me, with his usual gleam of bland menace, that King Henry was pleased with The Rise of the Phoenix, the first tapestry I wove on my own after leaving the priory. I sold it to Anne of Cleves, who came to our kingdom to become the fourth wife of Henry VIII, and she made a gift of it to him. Said Bishop Gardiner,
"His Majesty dislikes everything about his new queen, with one exception, the present of the Phoenix tapestry."
A week after Bishop Gardiner told me that, the first letter from the king's court appeared. Unsigned and unsealed, it was a simple request for my presence at court to speak of tapestries. If I were of a more sanguine humour, I might find comedy in this. Henry VIII wished to commission a tapestry from a woman who'd treasonably opposed him, not once but twice. The king now lived because of what I did, or rather, what I failed to do. Yet he would never know any of this history, never realise how tightly our fates were intertwined. No, to Henry VIII, I was but a distant cousin with an intriguing talent for weaving. And the truth was, I did have another tapestry planned. I'd ordered a drawing from Brussels of The Sorrow of Niobe, but had not yet stretched it on the loom. I did not wish to sell this one to the royal couple. For that and other reasons, I failed to respond to the first royal summons. Beset by a troubled marriage and rumours of foreign invasion, His Majesty King Henry VIII would forget about me, surely.